Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Spoiler warning, do not watch the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies. Pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun afterwards. Explicit content warning, this material may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages, so you've been warned.
We are also joined today by our resident racist Daniel. Say hello, Daniel.
Oi.
Oi. Oi is the best you can do.
Oi.
Daniel, only Geordies can say oi.
Right.
And we're Geordies.
Well, skinhead,
not really, but skinhead, you know, we could be honorary members, you know.
Skinheads use oi.
Skinheads use like other things, like things I won't say.
Like swastikas and stuff. And white hoods.
Yeah, white hoods. You know all about that, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you're a Klan member, huh?
Well, I asked my mom for one for Christmas once. She didn't. Obviously, I didn't get that, so.
Well, fair enough.
You're a terrible person. Just so, to let you know.
Anyway, welcome, everybody, to our regularly scheduled podcast. We didn't podcast last weekend, but we were really busy with Wizard World and things like that. And that will be the subject of today's podcast. We'll be talking about Wizard World Sacramento on this podcast after we talk about some of the latest in news or some big news coming out over the past couple weeks. So we'll be talking about that stuff, and then we'll get into what we thought of Wizard World this year. So, preliminaries. How's everyone doing today?
I am great. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I've been catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's on Netflix now. You've been watching Glee, which, very exciting stuff. How are you liking it?
It's good,
yes.
Yeah.
What about you, Daniel? What's new with you? Anything?
Not really, just causing more mayhem and destruction like I always do, you know.
Oh, all right.
Just another day.
All right. Unlike Scott and myself, Daniel...
Sounds fucking lame.
Daniel has seen the new Transformers movie. I don't know. Do you have any interest in that movie at all?
Nope.
Yeah, neither do I. Daniel said it was pretty good. Well, he liked it, but he said it was awful, so...
I said I liked it. But for me, as someone that grew up in the 80s and was a big, you know, grew up on the Transformers.
Yeah, he's old as shit if you couldn't
35,
get that. Yeah.
But I remember the 84 movie, so on and so forth. But my point is, they were like, the big selling point for the movie was Unicron. And Michael Bay, should not be surprised at all, managed to take something so fucking simple and completely fuck it up at the same time. The story, look, I love my B-movies and I love bad movies. But I even can acknowledge the movie script was all over the place. The selling point, obviously, were the Transformers and the action. That's it.
All right. Fair yep. enough. There's right. your 80-cent review from Daniel. So
yes.
anything else to catch up on? Or should we just, get in the news? All right. Into the news we go.
This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, mate.
You're welcome, bro. No problem. Anytime, buddy. Buddy old pal.
Yeah. So, first bit of news. We're going to have some Spider-Man news here. So, first bit of Spider-Man news. Tom Holland confirms trilogy plans for Marvel Studios' Spider-Man films. So, we already knew plans were underway for a sequel for Spider-Man Homecoming, with the second film set to hit theaters on July 5th of 2019. And now, star Tom Holland has confirmed Marvel Studios will be sticking to their traditional plan of a trilogy for their heroes. Tom Holland told Allo Cine, Yasta is what we call the arc of the character. There is still a lot of room for Peter Parker and Spider-Man, especially to grow in the next two movies. He's definitely not the finished article by the end of Spider-Man Homecoming, and I really look forward to exploring the different ways he can grow and go through puberty, I guess. It's going to be an exciting couple of movies. Yeah, he's British, so that's what he sounds like. What the fuck was that? When asked to clarify that he meant just solo Spider-Man movies, he replied, "There will be a Spider-Man 2 and 3. Yeah, well, now you know. Sorry, Marvel. Whoops. That's a thing.
All of them.
So, Daniel over here thinks that this is utter bullshit for some reason. He thinks that Sony can pull the rug out of Marvel and just, take Spider-Man back. So why don't you tell us why you think that?
Because they have the potential to do something that Marvel fucking would never have the balls to do, and that's give us a proper Venom and Carnage movie. Particularly Carnage. Marvel wouldn't have the balls to do a character like that in the proper way it should be.
Well, you're just wrong. Marvel hasn't had the rights to Spider-Man, so they haven't had any opportunities to. So, like, if they own the rights since 2000, like they have, like Sony has, they would have done Venom and Carnage by now.
We don't know that, though.
And they tried to do Venom and failed miserably.
Yeah, Sony.
Yeah,
failed.
But I mean, Tom Hardy's a hell of a choice. But my point is, I'd much rather see Spider-Man take on Venom and Carnage than some lame-ass old man in a fucking vulture suit or some five other has-beens that came and properly get off on fucking Venom or Carnage. Those two are iconic compared to the rest of the bozos.
Yeah, and it took Sony 17 years to get there.
Yeah. But we're getting there, aren't we? Next year, October.
Yeah, but you can't just say, oh, Marvel would never have the balls to do it. Marvel's had partial rights for close to a year and a half, and they're already doing something with it.
Look at Civil War. They didn't have the balls to kill off Captain America like they did in the fucking comic. No, they went the safe route.
You don't know what their plans are for the rest of Captain America. We know that he's not going to be there forever. Evans is done after the second Avengers Infinity War movie. So,
well, yeah, thanks to movie pilot.
They have plans for it. No, get out of here with your bullshit movie pilot. They're garbage.
Don't spread your propaganda around these parts, mate. So, I'll beat your ass.
Let's just move on to the next bit of Spider-Man news.
Yes. Spider-Man producer calls Venom silver and black. What?
There's a comma there.
The fuck is that word?
Adjunct.
Adjunct? What the fuck does that even mean?
Close to.
Okay. Awesome. Cool. All right. Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty much. On.
Okay, cool. Let's move on.
Now I do have a question.
What?
I was just gonna ask. So silver and what is it? Silver and black, right?
Yeah. I guess that's what they're calling Silver Sable and Black Cat.
Are they both in the same movie, right?
Yes, obviously.
And is it gonna have anything to do with Venom?
Probably not.
All right.
So essentially, what happened was, Amy Pascal, who's a producer on Spider-Man or on the Venom movies and stuff, she's like, oh, well, we don't have any plans for Venom in the MCU. It's a Sony project. And then now, recently, she just said, well, those movies will take place in the world that we're now creating for Peter Parker. They'll be related to it. They'll be in the same world, just different locations. And it's still in the same world, blah, blah, blah. They're connected to each other as well. And then asked if Tom Holland Spider-Man would be in any of the Sony films. She said there's always a chance. So pretty much what she's saying is that Venom and the Black Cat and Silver Sable movie take place in the MCU.
Now, I like to point out this is coming from the same woman that fucking brought us the bastardization of Ghostbusters. So I would take anything that Hellspawn says with a grain of salt because she's never delivered on anything she has said before. So,
all right, fair enough.
Okay,
sweet. So more new details on Sony Spider-Man spinoffs, including the Venom villain. So following all these different comments, in a story regarding Sony's partnership with Marvel Studios, Hollywood Reporter brings word on other things being planned for Sony's Marvel Universe. The outlet reveals that the upcoming Venom film, which has director Ruben Fleischer behind the camera and Tom Hardy playing the titular anti-hero, will see none other than Carnage as its antagonist. Venom will arrive in theaters October 5th, 2018. In addition, the studio is reportedly considering plans for projects that will focus on villains Kraven the Hunter and Mysterio. Whether this will be films for the individual villains or something pairing them up remains to be seen. Sony also intends to bring the web-slinger himself, Tom Holland, into various spin-off films and additional Marvel Studios films, despite him only being contractually obligated to appear in Spider-Man 2 and 3. So
do you guys think that the Venom movie at all will see any possible delays between now and 2018, or do you think it will stay on schedule for the October 2018 release?
I'm sure it'll stay on schedule.
Yeah. I don't foresee. I think Warner Bros. Is like the only studio that really has that problem, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into some of the Han Solo problems later, and I don't think that'll delay them at all.
Okay.
So Scott and I were talking about this like yesterday, I think. So, or 2 days ago, you pretty much think that this will be Venom and Spider-Man teaming up kind of to take down Carnage.
It makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. Seeing, like, me and you discussed this the other day. Carnage is absolutely stronger than Venom. So, I mean, it makes sense that those two have to team up to bring him down. The other thing I wanted to add, though, is I did not know about the possible movie for Mysterio, which would be fucking amazing, because I've been actually saying, even if you go back to the first ones with Tobey Maguire, I would have loved to see him from there. But, I mean, if we can get a proper Mysterio movie now, or, you know, in the next few years, that'd be fucking amazing, because I think he has a lot of potential to be amazing if he's done right on screen.
We've been waiting for him, so.
Yes. So, in other Spider-Man, animated Spider-Man movie news, I mean, I know it's a lot of Spider-Man movie, you know, news today, guys. It's because, you know, they just, the engine that doesn't stop, apparently, you know. So, word from the tracking board brings word that Oscar winner Mahershala Ali and Brian Tyree Henry have joined the cast of the animated Spider-Man movie from Sony. Henry will take on the role of Jefferson Davis, the father of Miles Morales, who has a shady past but went clean after he started a family, while Ali will voice his brother and Miles' uncle, Aaron Davis. Aaron Davis was a villain, the Prowler, in the pages of Ultimate Spider-Man as well. They joined the cast that includes Shameik Moore, star of the Get Down and Dope, voicing Tiller Miles Morales, and I'm not gonna even
Leaf Schreiber
as a mysterious.
The fuck, dude! You just want to give me all the fucking hard ass names, huh, you little prick.
Similar to this, Aaron Davis, the Prowler, will also be in Spider-Man: Homecoming, played by Donald Glover. Yay!
Cool.
He is the reason Miles Morales gets powers, essentially, because he breaks into Oscorp after Norman Osborn gets arrested. A spider gets in his bag. Miles goes over there and then gets bit, and that's how he gets powers. All right.
Yes.
So, Scarlett Johansson teases an Infinity War scene with 32 Marvel characters. There's 67 in the movie. Okay. Next piece of news.
Jessica Chastain in talks to play villain in X-Men Dark Phoenix. Deadline reports longtime X-Men series writer and producer Simon Kinberg has officially signed on to write and direct X-Men Dark Phoenix, which brings back the cast of X-Men Apocalypse, including James McAvoy as Professor X, Michael Fassbender as Magneto, Jennifer Lawrence, as Mystique, Nicholas Hoult as Beast, Alexandra Shipp as Storm, Ty Sheridan as, I probably butchered that guy's last name,
Sheridan.
By the way. Yeah, sure. That's what it is. As Cyclops, and Cody Smith-McPhee as.
No, he got that one. He got that one spot on. What
the fuck you laughing at, you little bitch? You want to go? As Nightcrawler, Kimberg will also produce the film alongside Lauren Shuler, Donner, and Hutch Parker. In addition, actress Jessica Chastain is in talks as the villain of the upcoming X-Men Dark Phoenix. Should the actress strike a deal for the picture, The Hollywood Reporter reveals that she will take on the role of Leandra, Empress of the Sahir Empire, an alien race that is in search of and eager to eradicate the Phoenix Force. Sophie Turner will reprise her role as Jean Grey in the film and host the Phoenix Force and subject of the Sahir search. X-Men Dark Phoenix is set to open in theaters November 2nd, 2018.
Yeah, so Lalandra of the Shi'ar Empire is not evil. She's not a villain. So I don't know why they're saying she's going to be the villain of the movie, but
maybe just the antagonist, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. Lalandra has a psychic connection with Professor Xavier. They had a semi-relationship. They're good guys. I mean, I don't understand. The Shi'ar Empire, yes, has been hunting down the Phoenix Force, but
well,
the
maybe
Phoenix
she's just
is the villain, right?
Well, yeah. If it's a Dark Phoenix, then no. Could she be in the right? The Dark Phoenix is the evil. Why would they make her?
Yeah.
Then why would she be the fucking villain? That makes no sense. If it were the regular Phoenix, it would make sense. But since it's the Dark Phoenix,
yeah, see,
It makes no fucking sense.
This says she's in talks to play the villain, Lilandra, but Lilandra is not a villain.
Not at all. Not even close.
So I don't know what they're going to do there. I don't know why. Maybe they just wanted to frame it that way. But
I'd also like to know why the fuck Jennifer Lawrence is coming back.
I thought she said she wasn't coming
back.
She
promised us.
Oh, no. I hate her, though. She's a shit actor. Actress, sorry. There's also another little thing from this article. Kimberg previously confirmed that the next X-Men movie would jump ahead 10 years from Apocalypse, offering a 1990 settings. For the sequel, the X-Men comics saw a commercial boom during the 90s, following character redesigns by Jim Lee, which went on to be the basis for the fan-favorite animated series, which is pretty important part of this news article.
Yeah, and Marvel also went bankrupt that same decade, so that's cool.
But it wasn't really X-Men's fault, though.
No. It was Marvel's fault. Marvel was just poorly run in the 90s.
Yes.
So another bit of Dark Phoenix news. Dazzler will appear in the movie.
What?
So it was teased in last year's X-Men Apocalypse that Dazzler is headed to the big screen. EW has confirmed that Allison Blair will be featured in a small role in next year's X-Men Dark Phoenix. No one has been cast quite yet, but the magazine notes that Taylor Swift is not planning to play the part.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, okay,
the musician was long rumored for a Dazzler cameo after appearing on social media posts from the X-Men Apocalypse set. Dazzler first appeared in 1980's Uncanny X-Men number 130, the second issue of the Dark Phoenix saga. Although the character began as a cross promotion between Marvel Comics, and Casablanca Records, the unrealized plan was to develop a Dazzler movie. A mutant Allison Blair has the ability to generate fantastic displays of light, much like Jubilee, hiding the fact that she's the one generating them. Dazzler used her powers to support her music career, becoming a star, but she does way cooler stuff than that. Like,
did you say they hinted at her in X-Men Apocalypse? Because I don't remember that scene.
No, they talked about her maybe having a cameo in it.
But, oh, okay.
So, in some Star Wars news, Phil Lord and Chris Miller have exited the Han Solo movie, citing creative differences and a surprising turn of events. Phil Lord... Okay, I just read that. All right, so this was a quote from Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilms, in the statement just posted to StarWars.com. Says Phil Lord and Christopher Miller are talented filmmakers who have assembled an incredible cast and crew, but it has become clear that we had different creative visions on this film, and we've decided to part ways. A new director will be announced soon. Unfortunately, our vision and process weren't aligned with our partners on this project. We normally aren't fans of the phrase creative differences, but for once, this cliche is true. We are really proud of the amazing and world-class work of our cast and crew.
Yeah, so people made a big deal out of this. I never really got behind them. Like, I back Lucasfilm, so it doesn't bother me that you know, they hired these directors originally, but the fact that they're leaving doesn't bother me. And there was also news like that they got into it with Lawrence Kasdan, who worked on Empire and Return of the Jedi and things like that. So I don't know, but you know, to top that off, it's official. Ron Howard takes over as the Han Solo director. So yeah, like they're saying, Lawrence Kasdan, who may have been denied the job due to DGA regulations or whatever, he got into it with them, blah blah blah. Kathleen Kennedy said, at Lucasfilm, we believe the highest goal of each film is to delight, carrying forward the spirit of the saga that George Lucas began 40 years ago. With that in mind, we're thrilled to announce that Ron Howard will step in to direct the untitled Han Solo film. We have a wonderful script and incredible cast and crew, and the absolute commitment to make a great movie. Filming will resume the 10th of July. So I don't care about the rest of this. But Ron Howard did The Heart of the Sea, the Moby Dick remake, kind of with Chris Hemsworth. And he also did that racing movie with Chris Hemsworth. He really likes Chris Hemsworth.
He also did
Do we think there's a possibility Chris Hemsworth can make a appearance in this Han Solo movie?
I don't, but based on what I've seen of Ron Howard films, he does a good job.
But hold on. Hear me out, right?
Right.
So, right. What if? Hold on. Just hear me out, right? So we fire whoever the current person slated to be Han Solo, right?
Okay, I got you.
Okay, so hear me out. And then we slate Chris Hemsworth as Han Solo.
Wow, Han Solo really goes downhill in his later years, doesn't he?
What?
Well, I mean, if you're going Chris Hemsworth to Harrison Ford, I mean, that's a big difference in size, strength, manliness.
You never know. The events of the story could unfold that, you know, I mean, who knows what really happened.
With some serum that turns him into a massive douche, makes him lose a bunch of weight and muscle mass, makes him wear gay vests.
Right, and this has the knack for having a little hairy sidekick.
Yeah. Pretty sure we'll have a hairy sidekick in this movie, but...
You think so?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Do we know that already?
I'm pretty sure we do.
Yeah, I thought it was in, like, you know how...
You know what? Nobody asked you.
Why don't you sit the fuck down and just, take some noise.
Boy is my term.
I trademarked it. The fuck are you even saying, pal? Come on, spit it out.
Hey, I'm the only one around here.
Gotta wet my whistle.
Yeah. Anyway, I have no problem with Ron Howard. Like I said, I back Lucasfilm. And I don't think this will delay the film. I don't think this is an indication that Lucasfilm is disorganized and dysfunctional like DC. Because this is a one-off thing. Unexpected things happen.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest, guys. They're in disarray. They don't know what to do with themselves. It's all going downhill. And you know why? So hear me out, right? It's because it's the Han Solo project. It's just karma.
No. He just doesn't like Han Solo. He thinks he's a scumbag. He thinks Luke knew Han liked him and purposely tried to steal him away.
So in the premise, hear me out. Right? So on the premise that in the first movie we're not given the information that Luke and Leia are brother and sister, right?
That is correct.
So under that premise, I mean, okay, obviously it all worked out for the best, right? So under that premise that we don't know that yet, and remember like in the scene where he's like Han Solo is obviously trying to piss Luke off, and he's like, so what do you think a girl like that and a guy like me have a chance? It's like, isn't he obviously just a huge cock block?
He is.
He's just a douchebag. No, he's just a douchebag.
Luke is the one who immediately says, no. Like, hecka, like, dick, like, no, no. She's all mine. Like, what the fuck?
It's because, but look, he liked her, right? Before he knew that was his sister. See, but.
We could be down for incest. Who knows?
I mean, who knows, right?
Hold on.
Hear me out, right? How do we know that? See, like, because we all know that Kylo Ren's a little disturbed, right? Hear me out. What if there's a little incest action going on there?
At that point.
it would completely explain his Down syndrome nature.
Bad genes.
You're on the side of Rey's Jaina Solo, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know what that means.
No. On a serious note, though, but, like, so, like, if you're just, like, watching, Star Wars 1, and obviously, like I said, it does work out for the best. But, like, with, like, the line of thinking that, like, you don't know that they're brother and sisters yet. If, like, you're watching the film for the first time, can you not just help but feel that, like, Han Solo is just a major douchebag?
You know who Han Solo reminds me a lot of?
Who?
Tony Stark.
No, but Tony Stark's a good person.
Oh, my God.
No.
Scott was trying to convince me yesterday that Tony Stark is one of the best Marvel characters of all time.
And I think there was a hint
of seriousness there. And, like, what I can give you is that you can't argue before 2008 that he was a popular character or whatever. Like, all you can argue is he was an underappreciated character.
But hold on. Hear me out, right? Okay. So, Tony Stark is... So, like, as a character, I really do feel like he is, like, probably one of the, like, the best constructed characters. And, you know, you can obviously say he's not liked because, I mean, who really likes him? He's an asshole. But for that reason, isn't he like one of the greatest constructed characters because he's the most human relatable character out of almost anybody?
He's greatly flawed, but
exactly. No, but, and that's what I mean, though. It's like, say Christian's like, but isn't Spider-Man so much more relatable because we've all gone to high school and we all like the girl next door?
That's paraphrasing.
I mean, that is pretty much the argument you gave me yesterday.
I doubt that.
No,
he's probably spot on with your fucking.
No, Spider-Man is relatable because we've all gone through like growing.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Growing up because we all started off as an infant, and now I'm a grown ass man. Well done. I had to go through high school too.
Sorry, we haven't all built weapons and sold them to other governments and cheated on our wives and drank ourselves silly. Like, We're not all assholes like Daniel.
That's why I relate most to Frank Castle.
Like, and he's so unapologetic about it. He's such a dick about it. Like, he doesn't.
But that's how people are in real life, though.
Okay, yeah. But that's like how people are in real life. Reality is no defense for fiction. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. He's the most relatable character out of anybody because he actually has real problems, not just high school drama bullshit. That honestly, I never went through any of that high school. All the shit that's ever depicted in movies or like in Spider-Man and stuff, I never went through any of that high school bullshit. I went to a regular ass high school where I was just trying to get through my classes, and that's about it. Like. All
but,
that other
but
stuff.
But there are a lot of people that get bullied in high school or whatever. But
well, fucking buck up, buckaroo.
Spider-Man, left and right. Mike checked their ass.
Spider-Man, Peter Parker isn't just dealing with high school.
That's how I know he's not relatable because he's fucking going through high school, fucking shooting webs out of his fucking hands.
Right?
Yeah, I'm super relatable to that dude.
It's a metaphor.
For what?
For like, shooting your load all over the place.
Everybody wants to feel like they are doing more, right? Everybody wants to feel like they're more than what people think of them. And Peter Parker is just that. He is more than what people think of him. But he can't go to school and be Spider-Man. He can't go around telling everybody. Oh my God, you just don't understand the premise of superheroes, and so you can shut your face. But like, he's just a normal kid at school who gets picked on, and he can't do anything about it. Like, and we've all been in that position where it's like, we want to react to people and we want to do things and we just can't. And nobody will ever see how truly great we are, like, on a normal everyday basis. And that's Spider-Man. That's the definition of Spider-Man. Like, people don't see how truly brilliant and great he is. To them, he's just another dorky kid.
No, there's some people, never mind. I was going to say, like, guys like Doc Ock actually probably see that brilliance.
No, Doc Ock is an egomaniac genius who doesn't give a shit about anybody else. He doesn't sit there and think, Peter Parker's my rival. He thinks, why does this guy just not fucking die? Like, he is superior to Peter Parker. That's why when he takes over his body, he becomes the superior Spider-Man. Because Doc Ock just is in his mind, he is the greatest intellect the world has ever seen. And nobody rivals him. Nobody comes close.
Okay, but hear me out, right? Oh my God. So, but like, okay, yes. You know, you bring up a valid point. You know, you want to be accepted or you want everybody to see you in a certain light. But, like, how much more relatable is, like human fault, essentially? You know, it's, like, a guy that has real problems, like, dealing with alcoholism and addiction and, you know, maybe not making the right decisions or, you know what I mean, like, and, like, cheating and whatnot. It's, like, a lot of people go through that. You know, not everybody, but, like, a lot of people go through that.
Yeah, I'll give you Iron Man is definitely more relatable for a lot of adults. And obviously your imperfections, your vulnerabilities are what allows people to connect with you. That's why, like, you know, people think pity and condescension are bad things these days. They're not fashionable terms, but those are how you connect with people. Like, you're connecting with them because you feel bad for them or you understand. Like, even if you haven't gone through, like, I've never gone through what Tony Stark has gone through as a character, but I can still feel bad for him. I can still, you know, relate to that kind of pain, even if I've never felt it or gone through it. And like,
so would you say that he's like one of the greatest characters ever created?
I'd say Stan Lee is brilliant for trying to make a character so bad that people could never like, and making people like him. I give Stan Lee the credit, but I mean, yes, Tony Stark is a relatable character. I don't know if that makes him great, but
he is a great character. I mean, just because you don't like the character doesn't mean he, like, you know, there's plenty of characters in books and like mythology or whatever you want to say, like, that you don't like, but he's still a great and essential character.
Yes, but he was an essential before 2008.
So
like, he's always just been the least interesting Avenger. Like, he's never been anything special until Robert Downey Jr. And I think that now you can definitely argue that he is very important to the Marvel Universe, and he has been for the past 10 years or so. But before that, he's useless to me.
Well, I mean, maybe you just weren't really too into his character. So that's okay.
No, I never have been.
That's okay. Never been into Spider-Man, so
yeah,
I guess we're
enough.
Pretty equal.
Fair enough, yeah. Everybody loves Spider-Man except for Scott.
Yeah, I think he's just an overrated little
You know
pussy.
Who else hates Spider-Man?
Who?
My sister. But I know why she hates Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire?
There's nothing to do with Spider-Man. No.
Well, duh. But anywho.
Oh, okay.
anywho.
Yeah, so that is all the news and little arguments about... You see, that's the fun part about this stuff is, like, these are conversations that people have all the time, and they're just fun to, you know, kind of have on tangents, right?
See? Sure.
Right, guys?
See?
Go fuck yourself.
Blow me, bitch.
So let's now talk about Wizard World Sacramento 2017 and why it was the worst convention we've ever gone to.
Hey, Daniel, how'd you feel about it? Oh, wait, you didn't go. Oh. Leave.
All right.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to go outside. I have really nothing to contribute to these fucking conversations.
All right. Are you leaving? Right.
Probably here in a few. But before you start, my wifey was there, and my boy Christian sent me a picture of my wifey, so I was pretty happy. That's a new bathroom material that lasts me for a little bit.
Yeah, a blurry picture from 200 feet away of Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, good one. Well done, mate.
All right.
Yep.
So,
sorry, I'm pretty sure she doesn't date little chubby trolls. with dad bods.
With
God.
No put hair on their body.
Put that away, you little naked mole rat.
Actually, that's probably my favorite. Naked mole rat is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one, huh?
Paul Blart, naked mole rat.
Paul Blart, naked mole rat.
I work at Target, so...
I'm top flight security of the world.
So,
anyways, all right. So, Wizard World. Wizard it was World. Utter shite. It was utter shit. All right, we're done, guys. I'm just kidding.
We both are gonna put out articles about, you know, our individual experiences, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could just talk about a couple. Like, I mean, obviously there was like pretty much no. Like substantial actors. Like, I mean, there was like the Charmed panel where Piper and Leo, the actor and actress who play them, were there. Some of the cast members from Buffy was there. I think somebody told me like Daryl from fucking Walking Dead was there, but
not this year. He wasn't.
I don't remember seeing him posted anywhere. So I think they were fucking full of shit.
He's been there previous years.
Yeah. So I think they were full of shit, to be honest with you. And then Kate Beckinsale from Underworld, most known from being like from Underworld, which pretty subpar, you know, and she was pretty much the headliner there. And like, that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah. I mean, Val Kilmer, who is the worst Batman, probably worse than George Clooney, was there.
Yep. But I mean, literally, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at previous years where you've had Chris Hemsworth, Stan Lee, what's his face, who plays Daryl Dixon?
Yeah.
Norman Reedus.
A lot of the CW stars.
Even Bruce Campbell, who's a huge pop culture fan and favorite. William Shatner. Some DC stars. Like, a couple years ago, we saw Kelly Fry, who was, you know, name, but she was in Flash as Plastic. Manu Bennett was amazing.
Katie Cassidy.
And still, even with these kind of lower end or like washed up, maybe you could say, like, I wouldn't use that word. I think it's like kind of insulting. But I mean, I think they're still big celebrity names, kind of, but like they're past their prime, right?
Right.
Even so, their panels were still great. Like that was a highlight of it, was the Charm panel and the Buffy panel we went to were amazing. Everything else was pretty garbage.
Yeah, like the layout of the floor. Awful. Like,
so
I mean,
much empty space.
Yeah, there's so much empty space around that exhibit hall. The vendors were utter shite and overpriced. The attendance was super low. There was like an all-time low of like cosplayers there. There's hardly any. I was so out of it. I didn't even want to cosplay myself. I was super unmotivated.
I mean,
here.
It was 110 or something as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, that could have played the factor, but I choose to believe that like the factor was the lack of like star power.
Nobody was looking at the weather report when deciding whether to go to Wizard World, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
So I don't get it. Like there was a whole section, you know, devoted to selling like mystery boxes where everything was super overpriced anyway. Right. There was like a blood donation center where usually we'd have tattoos, artists and stuff there, like all these famous tattoo artists.
Like, I'm all good for like a good cause, and they had a lot of military boosts, which is fine.
But is it the place at Wizard World? Like, last year when they did, like, the, you know, the military vets kind of thing, you know, they had, like, the big show up there and everything, like, helping out. And, like, that was a nice display.
Yeah, I like that. But the whole, like, actually letting the, like, So, like, okay, I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. I support vets 100%, and I, like, you know, love our veterans and, like, very thankful for, you know, what they sacrifice to give us the freedom that we get to enjoy every day, essentially. Yeah. But with that being said, I just don't necessarily know if having, like, recruiting booths and stuff like that is necessarily, like, the right place and venue for that. Like, I loved last year when they had like the tribute to the vets on a stage,
yeah,
and they did this big like ceremony thing, and that was great, guys. Don't get me wrong, I love that. But having like them setting up recruiting stations and stuff, it was a bit much. Same with the blood donation. Yes, good cause. Don't get me wrong, really, really good cause. But again, not the time or place. Go to a hospital if you want to do a blood drive. Like,
or,
I'm sorry.
Or like a Walgreens or something.
Yeah, or like a Walgreens or a Walmart parking lot or something like that.
But even so, it's like if there were actual real vendors that wanted to be there, they probably wouldn't have had those things, you know?
This is something we didn't even really talk about. How many artists were there? Like, none.
And no comic book artists.
Like, no comic book artists. Hardly actual, like, even local artists didn't really even come this year. Usually, like, the Artist Alley is, like, literally the Artist Alley. Like, it's huge. It's very big. And that was hardly there. I do have her, like, the stage that they had and, like, the huge Iron Man suit and the huge Hulk. That's a good addition with the live music. That was cool. I didn't really like the whole hula hoop performance fucking weird shit. I don't know what the fuck going on. And then they're like, they sucked, by the way.
Because if like you actually kept messing up.
Yeah, they kept messing up or whatever. But you know, letting local artists come on and sing, that was a cool gesture. The mystery box, what a waste of space.
Everything was a waste of space. Like, even the stage was a huge space occupier. Like,
well, yeah, it was a space occupier, but it was just in the... I like the idea, right? Don't get me wrong. Because it builds, like, a better place for, like, the costume contest, which I heard was super lackluster and pretty garbage in the end.
It was hot.
Yeah, and it was really hot. But, like, I like the idea. I just think it was poorly placed. I guess... Other than the panel, the one super bright spot was that super sweet fucking Batmobile, man. That thing was
fucking sick. Oh, yeah, the Adam West Batmobile was there.
Yeah, that was sick.
That was amazing. But everything else was just like, it seemed like there were so few vendors. Like, they were trying to take up space with other things, like the recruiting booth, like the blood donation center, like the big stage. Like, they could have put the stage in the back, though, right? Like,
yeah.
And there was nothing in the back. They had entire sections of the back blocked off. Like, SAC Anime takes up all the space. Like,
literally all of the space.
And, like, this, there were huge areas of just open space, and there was nobody there. Like, you didn't even have to worry about running into anybody because there was just nobody there.
Yeah, honestly, unless if they get, like, some super good star power for next year, I probably won't be going to Wizard World 2018. I'll definitely be going to SAC Anime.
I mean, SAC Anime is half the price for a 3-day admission.
Right, you know.
There's more people there. There's just more there in general, more vendors. And it's like in Stockton Con is $10. Like, and they have more people there. Like,
right.
I don't get it. Like, the first 2 years of Wizard World were amazing.
Right.
But since then, the past 2 years, 1 year, this year, last year?
Year and
2 years.
A half.
Yeah. It's been awful. Yeah. 2016 and 2017 haven't been great for Wizard World.
I mean, I don't want to get too much into it because we also wrote articles that we really, really want everybody to go check out. And we really went in depth about explaining, you know, what really makes a good or bad con experience and like what we felt was the driving force of it all. And we really do go into a little bit more detail with that. And you can find those articles in the blog section on our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. So make sure you guys go check that out. They'll be posted later this week. I know Christian's nearly done with his article. And I just started my article today, but I've gone pretty far in it. Pretty excited where the direction of the article is going. I think it's going to be a pretty good read,
yeah,
if I must say so.
Like, if you guys want to spend a whole bunch of money to meet these celebrities, get their autographs, get pictures with them, like, it might be more worth it for you. To me, that's just, like, not one of the things I'm interested in. Like, I'm just too, like, anxious of a person. Like, I feel like I wouldn't know what to say to celebrities or whatever to get pictures or signatures or whatever. Like, I don't feel like I'm that down to earth, to be honest, with that kind of stuff.
Right.
But if, like, I think people who did those things might have had a better time than we did. But at the same time, I saw a lot of people who also feel like Wizard was declined over the past couple of years who didn't enjoy it this year.
Right.
Was it worth the $80? No, I would say no.
No. Yeah. Like, I think that would definitely have to just be our final verdict. It was not worth the money at all.
Yeah. But on the plus side, I don't know if you guys will consider this a plus or not, but they have up security at events like this. There were
that is good.
Metal detectors.
We talked about that last year.
Yeah, last year there was nothing, right? Like, and we're just...
What the hell? Okay, interesting. Sorry about that, guys. So yeah, last year we were talking about it mainly because, you know, we all know we live in a very shitty world, and at that time there was a lot of terrorist attacks going on in the world, and, you know, an event like this is a prime target for something like that.
And anybody last year could have just walked through. Like, they didn't even check your weapons or anything. Like,
yeah.
Like, they had a weapons check, but, like, nobody was making sure that the little zip tie was on it and things like that. So, well, anybody literally could have come in last year. Daniel's going to come over and say something.
Well, this also had a... I don't need to listen to that. I was going to say... this also had... I think that had a large part in due to what happened with the Green Ranger not that long ago, when the guy was planning, like, he showed up to the Comic-Con or wherever it was at, and he actually had called some girl, and he actually had guns there, and he was actually going to try to kill the Green Ranger, which is another...
See, I told you somebody tried to assassinate him.
I don't remember. Yeah,
he's like, you can't assassinate somebody who is not the president.
Yeah, you can't assassinate people that,
no, but the guy
that
actually,
aren't political.
The guy actually showed up and was
pretty
actually,
sure you can.
The guy actually showed up and was actually going to try to kill the Green Ranger, but...
No, it's an assassination.
But fortunately...
He was an assassin, right?
Yeah.
And what are the actions that an assassin would take? Assassination? I'm going to look this up because I think you're wrong about this.
Okay.
But
prove me wrong.
I will.
But my point is...
Later on.
since that happened, though, they've actually stepped up security at all the cons, and basically the Green Ranger's also pushing, or Jason David Frank, I shouldn't call him the Green Ranger.
What are you doing, dude?
Fuck your problem.
He's actually advocating more security and security
measures. No, we said that last year, too. You know, they did, like, little wand waving and stuff with like that, but there's obviously... ways around all that, but, you know, metal detectors might be a little bit more of a deterrent. They should have more armed security there. There should be a lot more things, especially with, like, such a huge crowd in such a small radius. Like, something like a terrorist attack could have devastating results, obviously.
In the way the world's going right now, you know, it'd rather be safe than sorry, because you never know when something like that could actually happen.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
Dictionary.com. Assassinate, to kill suddenly or secretively, especially a politically prominent person, murder premeditatedly and treacherously.
Okay, it said especially.
Yeah,
especially means including.
And the guy.
No,
especially
means more specifically.
Okay, but it does not pertain to just them, then.
And also, the guy that killed John Lennon is actually referred to as an assassination as
well.
Yeah, but
he was also a politically prominent person.
Lennon was not.
John Lennon
was a Beatle.
Had millions of things to say about politics.
So
and he was a politically...
He wasn't... He might have been...
engaged person. Like,
he might have discussed politics, but in no way, shape, or form was he a politician. There was no way you can say, it was...
It says especially. That means to... yes, more so, you know, a politician, but it doesn't exclude anybody else.
Yeah, and last I checked, the Jason David Frank, the Green Rangers, actually got celebrity status. So for a normie like us to go up there and try to kill him, which would be an assassination. Martin Luther King assassinated. I guess you could say he was sort of a political figure, but nonetheless, he was assassinated.
Yep.
Lennon, like we said, I mean, it doesn't matter if they're political or not. If you go up to someone that's famous and kill them for no reason or whatever, you were disgruntled with them, that's an assassination. No way around it.
I mean, by a loose definition, you could say that.
No.
By a strict definition, it's usually a political person. Like,
no, because you literally just went on dictionary.com and it said
especially meaning specifically. Like,
no, it doesn't. That's not what that means, dude. It means... It means basically including them, but more strongly geared towards them.
Well, regardless, though, the whole point is that the security needs to step up, and yes, they're doing it because they're ensuring not just the people on the panels or whatnot, but the people there are safe, and that's the important thing.
Correct, my good sir. Correct.
Yes.
Correctamundo.
Especially just means very much so, like...
You're not going to drop this, are you?
Well, I mean...
You proved yourself wrong. I'm sorry, dude, but that's what you did.
You just ran yourself into a circle. I mean,
you guys are arguing, like, opinions of what words mean, and I'm telling you exactly what they mean. Like, especially doesn't mean, oh, sometimes. Especially means almost all the time, most of the time.
Have you ever heard
very much so. That's what it means.
Have you ever heard of the term live and let live? Just let it go, man. It's a lost cause.
Okay, well.
But it does. Okay, so I mean, just because you say, just because you say especially, it means mainly, primarily, does not exclude the rest.
No, it doesn't exclude the rest, but it's incorrect to say, like, oh, I assassinated an actor. Like,
why is it incorrect?
So what would you call it then?
Murder, I mean, homicide, like.
That's
these
assassination
make more
too.
Sense.
No, when you assassinate really. Someone, you're taking their life.
That's an assassin is like a hired gun.
Not
like,
necessarily. They could have their own reason for. Like I said, Mark Chapman was not paid to kill John Lennon, but he still killed John Lennon.
Yes, but John Lennon, despite what you might say, was viewed by a lot of people as a political figure.
Well, there were a bunch of hippies that smoked dope all day, don't know their head from their ass. He was not he was not a political person.
He had a lot of sway and a lot of influence over people.
Maybe over shitty music, but not politics.
You're not going on this argument, mate.
I mean, it's not about winning an argument. Like we believe different things. We believe different things.
And this was
but you guys are arguing against me like continuously. Like I'm just telling you
I'm trying to
what
tell
the
you.
Words mean. You're just saying you're wrong. I'm like, all right, I'm wrong, fine.
All right, that's all I needed to hear.
But that's your opinion. Like,
yeah, we did, but you won't let it go. You're like that guy sitting over in the corner beating a dead horse with a stick. Just let it go,
I'm
man.
Just explaining to you what the words mean, and you guys think I'm arguing. Like, you're the one who said, I'm going to prove you wrong. Okay, well. I
you're
looked it up
that,
for you.
Yeah.
Let it go.
I'm just telling you what that means.
Let it go.
Let it be is the song,
but I wasn't
my dude.
Wrong, was I?
No, I was thinking.
Not in a loose
See,
term,
he
I
can't
mean,
admit when he's wrong. Right? Yeah,
I
like
admit
the,
all the time when I'm wrong. This is what's so frustrating is all you, people think I can't admit when I'm wrong. But the thing is, right, I admit all the time, oh, yeah, my bad. That's my fault. I'm wrong, this and that. But it's the people that are always saying you can't admit when you're wrong that are the ones that can't admit when they're wrong. Like
I'm not wrong, though.
But I'm not talking about this specifically. It's just people in general like to think that I'm this pretentious asshole who never admits when he's wrong. But I admit it all the time when I'm wrong.
Oh, please.
All the time. Every time I talk to you on the phone and I say, oh, that's my bad. Yeah, I was wrong on that. Oh, let me tell you what the correct thing is now that I'm educated on it.
Who trolled me on Spider-Man?
I trolled you on Spider-Man, but that's not because I wanted to be right. That's because I just wanted to make you fucking angry because you're a troll. So I was just telling you that Marvel owned the rights and Sony didn't, all right? There's nothing to do with being right or wrong.
I still didn't get you were wrong out of you, by the way, and I was right.
Fair enough.
I'm still waiting on that.
Fair enough. All right, guys. So I think that's all we got for you guys this week on this very spectacular podcast we just did. It's pretty entertaining. Hope you guys enjoyed. Leave us some feedback on iTunes, you know, subscribe to our podcast and rate us and whatnot. Yeah, that's all we got for you guys. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott,
and I'm Nerdy Boy Christian. And as always, we have one message for you:
stay nerdy, boys.